everyone, and welcome to Longevity Post podcast number 5. I'm your host, Scott Chaveri. Joining me, as always, is the amazing immortal hair himself, Brian Simonis. Brian, what's up?
Terrific. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing fantastic. I have been doing landscaping all morning. I have 8 tons of rock sitting in my driveway that I have been shoveling into a gorilla cart and dragging into my backyard. So if I'm a little slow today, please bear with me. But our motivational quote of the day is going to be the tried and true, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And I say that because podcast number 5, Brian, you and I recorded last week, and then I found out that we didn't actually record it because the audio didn't work. So this is our second attempt. So should be even better than the first attempt. So today, folks, we're going to talk about dental health and how it can impact your health and your hair. So there's a bunch of different topics. This is going to be a two-part series because there's a lot to talk about. So Brian, I'll let you pick it up. So I guess, you know, what is the first topic you want to talk about with regard to dental health? And then can you make the connection for the listeners in terms of how it impacts their health and then ultimately their hair?
Yeah, sure, Scott. So this is a whole area that's usually not really frequently discussed because there's a big disconnect between the medical profession, you know, say your average medical doctor, and your dentist. And so this is really called oral pathology. So, you know, your dentist is designed to fix what's broken and you make you have a nice smile. And then the doctor's responsible for your health. But there's just a major disconnect because oral pathology, or the with respect to your health of your teeth, are connected to all your organ systems. And there's really very few people who are researching this field and understanding how it impacts your health systemically and, more importantly, our hair, right? So let's talk about something called cavitations. Cavitations are effectively when you have your teeth removed. A lot of people have their wisdom teeth taken out, sometimes because they're crowding their teeth or whatever reason. It might be an infection. Whatever reason, the dentists like to remove teeth. That's their job. That's what they get paid. And a lot of times they throw this jargon, oh, you got to have all your wisdom teeth taken out because, well, they're going to start moving around and causing more problems. But there's a huge consequence when you have your teeth removed. This affects your entire meridian system. So let's just discuss one thing for lack of time, and that is that cavitations is defined as when you have a hole in your jawbone. Let's say, for example, you have a tooth removed, and when that tooth is removed, you have a superficial layer of calcium that heals over this hole. Here lies the problem. When the dentist removes the tooth, there's a piece of tissue that anchors the bone called a periodontal ligament. And fortunately, American Dental Association and other dental associations recommend, for nefarious reasons, or maybe just that's how they're taught, you know, no ill will on their part, they're just doing what they're told, what they're taught. Is there an advantage of having this periodontal ligament that anchors the tooth to the jawbone? The answer is no. What they really want to do is remove it. They're told to keep it in. This is really the problem. So sorry if I messed up on that part. So
okay, so you're saying when they remove a tooth, there's this small piece of tissue called the periodontal ligament that anchors the tooth to the jawbone. You're saying that they should remove that when they remove the tooth, but typically they won't. They're taught to leave it in.
That's correct.
And so when the scar or the injured area ultimately heals, there's a thin layer of calcium that forms over the periodontal ligament?
Yeah, so here's really what happens is, first of all, they the dentists, are usually trained to leave, you know, to allow this periodontal ligament, this piece of tissue that anchors the tooth to the jawbone, to remain after they take the teeth out. So here's what really happens. Number one, if you live far away from the dental appointment, let's say if you're beyond 3 or 5 miles, which most people, I think, do live quite a distance from their dentist, this may jeopardize your ability to form a blood clot. That's number one. If you don't form a blood clot, you're not going to produce sufficient calcium to really cover over that jawbone. So that's another problem. The other is that if you have this piece of living tissue called a periodontal ligament, and you have a superficial thin layer of calcium healing over this hole, you're now having a living tissue that's essentially in the process of decay. So this is essentially a festering wound that's creating all kinds of anaerobic, without oxygen, thriving bacteria that are secreting bacterial endotoxins, which are creating a lot of havoc on the body. So,
got it. Okay, so let's keep going down that path. So again, just to really quickly reiterate, they leave the periodontal ligament in. Essentially, it's a festering wound, and so there are, you know, so it's just bacteria in there, and there are endotoxins getting into your system, and so how does that impact your health and your hair ultimately?
Okay, so this is really where the rubber meets the road, right? So when you've got a festering wound, you've got all these, you've got bacteria that are now surviving in an environment that now has no access to a bloodstream. It has no ability for white cells to macrophage and engulf any of these pathogens. So you have a situation that's a closed system now where you can't, your immune system can't go in there and clean the problem. And so now you have these usually anaerobic bacteria that secrete a waste product called bacterial endotoxins. And what they do is they deplete electrons. We have something called meridian channels. Think of them as water channels in the body. And they go to distal organ systems. It may hit your kidney, depending on which teeth it might be. It might hit your heart. It might hit some other area in the body that's going to literally transport to that area and literally just create a focal scurvy, which is basically you can call an electron depletion, a lack of vitamin C in that particular site, depriving you of life-giving electrons. When that happens, that's when disease process sets in. So if it hits your kidneys, which happens to be a weak area for hair, this could result in hair fall, for one example. It could result in cardiovascular disease. You can have all the right supplements, you can do all the right types of exercise, and you may drop dead of a heart attack, you know, at an early time because of some cavitation in your mouth that maybe you had 20 years ago.
Okay, so this is interesting because I know that we've talked about root canals, and I don't want to jump ahead, but the root canal story is similar in that, but I actually didn't realize that the cavitation, that the immune system can't get in there. And so can you help me understand that a little bit? So, I mean, I can understand that if it's, they should remove it, and that it's basically a festering wound, and it could be kind of a low-level infection. But why, the root canal story, I understand, and again, I don't want to jump ahead, but I'm struggling with why the immune system can't deal with the bacteria in the periodontal ligament.
Okay, so really what's happening, when you're removing a tooth that's anchored from this periodontal ligament to the jawbone, you've essentially created a hole in that jawbone. And invariably, this is really what the problem is in many cases, is when you live a great distance from your dentist and you're moving around in your car, you're creating a lot of tremendous vibration. And this vibration is disrupting the form, the ability for your body to produce a blood clot, which is going to help really form that bud of calcium to really have a thick cemented layer over that hole. So this is one area. So you're going to have some bacteria that are essentially part of that organic process of that living tissue, that periodontal ligament. So here you have something that's really decaying. If you think about it, when you have an appendicitis that becomes to a point where you need to have that appendix removed, otherwise you're going to have a gangrenous, decaying waste organic system in your body that's going to have a waste product. You literally die.
Yeah.
So the thing about dentistry, we're the only profession that leaves dead things in our mouth. A root canal is a piece of dead tissue when that nerve is completely devitalized. So the dentist will say, let me save that smile. Let me save that tooth. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drill a hole in that canal. I'm going to fill it full of, I'm going to pack it full of dental material like mercury, amalgam, or some other filling. And I'm going to basically starve the area of oxygen or what have you, or the blood supply's ability to get in there and just sort of have a normal blood flow. You've got this this vast microtubule network in the tooth that's anywhere from 3.5 to 9 miles in length of the microtubule system where nutrients go in there and form the structures of the teeth. When you put a root canal, you're sort of closing that system. So thereby you have, you're loaded with bacteria in your mouth. These are beneficial bacteria. They might help you digest your food, for example. And all of a sudden, they're now devoid of oxygen, devoid of a bloodstream to go in and out of. And suddenly you have these things that go through a pleomorphic change. They literally transform into another type of bacteria. They can go from oxygen to anaerobic bacteria. And the way they secrete is bacterial endotoxin. And just to get a gauge of the toxicity of some of these things, it can be 1,000 times more toxic than botulism. So there's literally disease-creating bacteria that are a result. There's the waste matter from these bacteria in your teeth. And this is really what could really hugely impact your life, not just your chances of heart disease or cancer, but obviously hair and other problems.
Okay, got it. So to summarize a little bit, maybe just add a little bit more color, they hollow out the tooth, but what you're saying is there's this extensive network of microtubules within the tooth that they can't possibly completely sterilize. I think last time you said it's something like 3 to 5 miles or something of tubules, but it's extensive, it's microscopic, it's impossible to perfectly sterilize 100%. So bacteria will get in there. Then when they fill the tooth, those bacteria can be starved of oxygen, so they'll basically mutate and become more dangerous. Is that correct?
Yeah, so just to elaborate a little bit, is when you're doing a root canal, you're destroying the nerve. I should say that when the dentist examines the possibility of a root canal, 70% of the time, at least, you know, close to 3 out of 4 out of the time, you know, 3/4 of the time, your tooth actually might have some life. It might be vital. Right. So you have to be a little skeptical about your dentist's desire to fill up his pockets.
Yeah,
because root canals are...
That's a very fair statement, right? I mean, root canals are a moneymaker. They make a lot more money from a root canal than they do from just a standard filling, for instance, right? So...
Exactly. So
it's probably worth getting a second opinion, like we talked about last time, if somebody recommends a root canal.
Yes. So think about it this way, is you are having to completely destroy that nerve. You're no longer able to have a blood supply go in there and do what your body knows what to do, is your immune system goes in there and phagocytosis anything that doesn't belong there. So all of a sudden you have a closed circuit system here when you've got a root canal. So suddenly bacteria that are normally around to you know, do what their job is, janitors, and are sort of now in a different environment. They're no longer without oxygen. They're no longer with a blood stream access. And so they can suddenly just start to create more of a disease process. So this root canal is essentially a gangrenous, rotting piece of tissue in your mouth that's literally depleting electrons, depending on where the acupuncture meridian system is. Every particular tooth has a specific relationship to different organ systems. And this is really how your health can be impacted, depending on which particular tooth may be involved in the process. Or maybe more importantly, how much abuse can your immune system tolerate?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say I go to a dentist, he recommends a root canal, and then I say, well, I'm going to get a second opinion. Brian and Scott said I should go get a second opinion and not trust the guy. Let's say you go to a second dentist and he says, no, this tooth is done. It's either a root canal or we pull it out. So what do you recommend as an alternative to the root canals? I mean, what are some of the alternatives, right? Because obviously there's a vanity side to this. Should we get a dental implant or what should we do?
Okay, yeah. So this is always the this is always the real big problem, because people don't want to look like they're from, you know, who knows where, missing teeth, right? So there is a removable partial, and there's also the idea of a bridge. And if you do a bridge, you want to use safe dental materials. So a dentist who really understands this whole body process with how the teeth are affecting their overall body health, they're going to want to have a test to see how they deal with specific foreign materials in their blood, because your blood can create an immunological reaction. If you're putting foreign materials in your mouth, what is toxic to one person may be very benign in another person. So it's worth to have that done. And you want to consult places like the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. This is a website that deals with these issues. There's also a referral service you can go to called drhuggins.com, drhuggins.com. They can help refer a dentist, hopefully within a few hundred miles of your area. Yes, it's worth taking the additional trip because it could really mean your health. So they can really establish a safe protocol, not just to deal with issues like mercury or other dental filaments, but also, how do you properly deal with root canals? If you have several root canals that you're considering having removed, there's a specific order in how these are going to be removed. If there's a positive or negative charge, if it's removed in the improper order, it could cause severe problems because your mouth is a lot like a battery.
Okay, so when you say with the root canals, or would that be applicable to the fillings as well? Since you're talking about the metal fillings, since they conduct the electrical charge, you want to be careful about the order with which you remove them?
Correct. So, depending on the type of dental filling materials they are, I mean, if they are mercury, for example, or if there are other metals, when you combine, let's say if you've got high copper amalgam, which is high copper mercury fillings, that releases mercury 50 times faster than other different alloys, for example. Or if you have maybe one type of metal and you got some silver in here, it's called galvanization, which increases the toxic load of the particular filament that's in there. So there are all kinds of issues. Some parts have a positive charge, some have a negative charge, and these all have to be removed in their proper order. If they're not, you can actually create an autoimmune situation. In fact, most people do not realize that up to one-third of all amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, however you want to call it, I call it Stephen Hawking's disease, this could actually play a huge role in that whole development there. Or, multiple sclerosis, 90 to 95% is from oral pathology. Cancer, heart disease, 90%. This is in the medical literature. I'm not making this up. So this has an enormous impact on your health. And for some people, dealing with the cavitation, where you had maybe a long time ago, you had a wisdom tooth or some other tooth taken out, you didn't have a proper blood clot form, maybe you had a far trip away to the dentist from your house, maybe you had some little gangrenous tissue festering, get that cleaned up, and wow, hair just starts to miraculously come back to life.
Interesting. Okay, Brian, so you went through a lot there. So let me do a quick recap in terms of what we've discussed so far. So we've talked about cavitations, which can result, basically a hole in the jawbone, which can result from an improperly removed tooth. So your recommendation there is make sure that the dentist also removes the periodontal ligament. And also on top of that, if you do not live close to the dentist, then you might be better off getting a hotel and resting very close by to where you had the tooth removed to ensure that there's proper healing afterwards, correct?
Yeah, so you want to really consider the idea of finding the nearest hotel, motel, whatever you can find for about 24 hours, because there's a critical time that happens when that tooth is removed. It needs to form a blood clot to create that form of calcium. If that does not happen, the dentist is going to have to go back in there and start the process all over again. It's going to have to clean up, it's going to have to break through that layer of calcium and sort of clean that wound really, really well and thoroughly. Okay. And then hopefully everything will work out again.
Okay. And then on the root canal front, you talked about alternatives being removable partial and a bridge. And then you did give some references. So you gave drhuggins.com as a reference. And then you also gave, so I believe the website is iaomt.org where you can also find a biologic dentist that's going to be more familiar with the concepts that we're talking about on this podcast. Now, what you skipped over, though, was why don't you know why won't I just get a dental implant, right? So because you know removable partial, I've seen those, not the best. An implant seems like hey, it's going to look like a real tooth. I'm just going to put it right up in there and replace what they took out, right? So why shouldn't I get an implant?
Yeah, so I did not forget. I just sort of lost track. So yeah, this is a really important question. Because, yeah, why not an implant? I mean, it solves the problem, doesn't it? Here is the real problem with the implants is, you think about it, when you anything that's put into our bone is going to be chemically tagged as non-self. Your body's going to literally go and reject it. And when I mean reject it, it's going to create essentially an autoimmune-like condition. It's not a matter of how, it's just a matter of when it happens and how severe it might happen. So this could really present an enormous immune challenge you do not even want to think about happening. So as attractive as an implant is, I would not bet my life on it.
Okay. Okay, so you're saying that the body recognizes it as a foreign invader, essentially, and it can mount a hyperactive immune response to it. And so what are the cascading health effects from that or impacts to your hair as well from that? So is it just because it's another stressor and it's a continuous stressor that it could be the straw that breaks the camel's back type of thing with regard to your health and your hair?
Yeah, that summarizes it perfectly. Really the straw that breaks the camel's back, because we can take a certain amount of abuse. You know, we're living in a sea of chemicals on a regular basis. And, you know, for some people, something in their mouth, something they put in their mouth, root canal, cavitation, or the implant. The implant is enormous because it's something sitting right in your bone, and your body's saying, this does not belong to me. Let's attack it. So you're basically going to have a constant source of inflammation that's just going to be there. Unless your immune system can tolerate the abuse, maybe something else is going to hit you that maybe, you know, that just pushes it over the edge. So, you know, why not? It's better off just dealing with the slight inconveniences of the bridge or the removable partial, whatever happens to be more appealing or whatever's more affordable to do.
Okay. Or hopefully you get a second opinion and you find out that you don't need a root canal in the first place.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we're probably, you know, it's been 22 minutes into this podcast and I feel like it's been all doom and gloom so far, you know, because we're dropping a lot of knowledge bombs on people about things they probably never heard of, cavitations or the dangers of root canals and anaerobic endotoxins and all of these things, and then dental implants are also not a good option. So, you know, let's say my mouth is full of root canals, and I want to investigate, maybe I'll find the dentist at IAOMT.org and go talk to him about what my options are. But in the interim, are there any supplements that I can take? Is there anything that you can recommend to mitigate the damage, mitigate the stress while I'm, you know, investigating, you know, how to deal with some of these things?
Yeah, so I'm going to first address all the low-cost options, because this is something that really unnerves people. They freak out. And so one of the first things a person can do to sort of mitigate any of this stuff is to engage in the practice of oil pulling. This is where you're taking something like coconut oil or something else, and you're swishing in your mouth for 15 to 20 minutes in the morning. I know that sounds a bit lengthy, but it really does a marvelous job on your overall oral health. That's one thing you can do. Things you can do.
Can you dig into that a little bit in terms of what does that do? You know, I'm swishing the oil around. What is the benefit?
Okay, what you're really doing is you're circulating or sort of by vacuum, really pushing these things through your gum and your teeth. Some of these bacterial endotoxins. You know, as I said, some of them are very, very vicious. So any reduction in that is going to really help. Reduce the impact of.
Okay. So I wanted to just expand on that a little bit, because it's very important that you spit the oil out, right? You don't want to swallow the oil. If the whole point is to pull these toxins out of your mouth and out of your body, then you wouldn't want to be swallowing that oil after you were done swishing.
Exactly, and I should point out in the This has been around for, you know, a long time in traditional Ayurvedic medicine.
Yep.
And they have used everything from sesame oil to sunflower oil, safflower oil. I like coconut oil the best just because it seems to do some other things. But, yeah, you absolutely have to spit this out. And you need to do it for 15 to 20 minutes. This is what the literature says. And there's a lot of interesting benefits to this that, as a side note, that you may discover. So what else can you do? You know, I understand a lot of people don't want to engage in that. That's something I would do if I had any of these procedures and I just needed some time to make a decision. You can also boost up your sulfur. Sulfur, anything that's a sulfur amino acid, it could be lipoic acid, it could be sulfur, it could be taurine, it could be anything that's a sulfur-based substance to help boost more glutathione and acetylcysteine, whatever works. You need to generate more glutathione. There's also other areas that we really didn't get into much in terms of gum erosion, pockets in gums, periodontal disease, gingivitis. These are other things we can kind of get into as well.
Well, yeah, we'll get in, we can get into that in part two.
Sure. So, so what else can be done? Well, you could also engage in plenty of vitamin C, but I think the oil pulling is going to really give a good defense about mitigating some of these. Neurotoxins, that's really what they are. Neurotoxins are just vicious. So,
okay. And so what was the what's the downstream benefit of the sulfur again? Is it just because sulfur is important in just in general for detoxification?
Yeah, that's a great question. So think of it this way, is sulfur is the stuff that your body uses to produce not just more oxygen, but also more the master antioxidant known as glutathione. So glutathione is that stuff that your liver usually produces. It uses a sulfur substance, sulfated substance, and it produces glutathione. Glutathione is that stuff that literally binds, conjugates, holds on to, and then helps excrete or escort out of the body. So whatever it is, whatever glutathione attaches to, it's going to sort of hold it prisoner, if you will, and prevent it from doing any residual damage to the body. So that's really what glutathione does. And with respect to male pattern baldness, they have 30% less glutathione in their skin. Also, if you think of it from a lifespan point of view, people with less glutathione simply do not live as long. So you really want to enhance your glutathione production as much as you can.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. All right. Very good. So all right, so I think that we've done a good job in part one. We've talked about cavitations, the importance of the periodontal ligament being removed. We talked the dangers of root canals and some of the viable options, which one of them is not a dental implant. We talked about some resources, and IAOMT.org and drhuggins.com to find a dentist who can really bridge kind of this knowledge gap between oral health and the rest of your body. And then we talked about some mitigation strategies, oil pulling being probably the first and foremost thing that you want to try. So I think in part two, we'll talk a little bit more about amalgams, we'll talk about gum disease, and we'll also discuss just some strategies for general good best practices for good oral health to begin with, right? So folks, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to us on iTunes. You can always check us out at longevitypost.com. Also, check us out the YouTube channel, Longevity Post YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And if you have any questions for Brian, please type them in the comments. And please stay tuned for part two coming up.